going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Good evening, DC. Welcome to Overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. I am Ben Standing. I cover the Washington Commanders for The Athletic and talk about them on my podcast, Last Man Standing. But I'm with you here till 10 o'clock tonight. Got a lot to talk about. We'll get into Commanders OTAs, the NBA Finals and the NBA Draft. A lot of talk around about the NFL and whatever's on your mind. You want to call in 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Obviously, I cover the Commander, so you want to pepper me with questions, whether it's about the OTA, the roster, schedule, whatever else is on your mind, let's do it. Again, we've got plenty of time to talk. I've got Metal Chris with me. He's really the one in charge. They just let me talk, but he's really the one running the show. He's off to a good start, by the way, playing Ozzy right off the bat. I'm not gonna complain about that. Have you ever seen him?
Man, I got Ozzy tattooed on my hand.
Oh, so the answer would be yes on that one.
Yeah, I got that tattooed at the Black Sabbath reunion show. So, oh,
yeah. Did you go see Metallica the other night?
I did. I didn't get the hookup like Cakes did. He got up in the snake pit and stuff, but I did get some free tickets through this company. So that was cool. It was great.
What was the what? I had an opportunity to go, but the weather, and it was the same day as the Commanders OTA last week, and I was like,
it was
tired.
A little wet, but it wasn't like standing in the rain kind of wet, you know. It was misty, kind of gross, but not like, I didn't feel soaked standing there, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like that kind of wet.
I basically have come to a point in my rock concert attending career where I think everybody would prefer to be in a smaller venue. I don't even know if the Anthem, but like the Anthem or certainly the 930 Club. I saw the Chili Peppers there a long time ago.
Yeah.
But like a stadium, unless I'm like all the way up front, I don't know that I can deal. If somebody wants to give me a suite for free, sure. But like, I mean, in general, if I'm really going to see the show.
So I go to tons of shows. Before I had the kids, I was going to over 100 a year.
Wow.
That's why I'm the Metal Chris dude. So I go to all kinds of sized venues, you know, big shows, little shows, whatever. Man, I've seen bands play basements. I've seen, you know, like I said, I just saw AC/DC and Metallica play the stadium both in May, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all over the place. They kind of do whatever. So,
you know, I know that maybe we'll get to it in the 9 o'clock hour, but Josh Harris joined, I think Alex Rodriguez has a podcast, and he was on there, and they were talking about the business of sports. You know, A-Rod is now going to be one of the co-owners of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I think they were talking about the stadium ideas, whatever. We've talked about just collectively about the idea that it's going to be a dome. They've already said that's the case. Whether it will be retractable, we'll see. But I haven't thought about it in terms of like the other events, like for concerts, for example. Like, I guess, the sound system presumably is going to be state of the art and all that. Would you have a preference between, if you're going to a concert, dome versus outdoor?
I don't really care that much. Like, if you make it dome, it means you can kind of do them year round.
Right.
You know, like I saw Iron Maiden in the arena back in November. Now they're not playing the football stadium in November. It's way too cold for that kind of an outdoor show. So you get year-round access to those kind of events. But you know, so as the fan, I don't know if that matters as much, but as the owner, I'm sure that's something you're thinking about. You know, it's like, you know, if it's only open in the warmer months, I mean, you got, what, 5-6 months of the year that you can really use it that way. And then if you keep it, you know, some sort of even retractable or whatever, then you have the whole year. So, you know, I'm sure that's something they're thinking about. The interesting thing about this Metallica show, too, is they played in the round. So, like, when I saw AC/DC there, they basically had, like, a third of the stadium closed down, you know. And they were playing from, basically, like, the 30-yard line, looking the long way down the field. But Metallica was, like, basically set up on the 50 on, like, a big donut. And they were walking around in circles or whatever, looking at people on all sides. But they could clearly sell way more seats that way. You have that extra third of the stadium, you know, also open. So, I'm sure those are all considerations when you're doing that thing of, like, what kind of events can we put here? How many people can we put in and stuff? Yeah. So.
But, and that also goes to my point earlier. Like, if I'm going to go to a show, like, I went to see U2 years ago at, I don't know if it was called Cap 1 then. But I got, it was, like, general admission floor seats. And we got there super early. What got us about 10 feet from the stage. And that was fantastic. I then also saw U2 at FedEx Field a few years ago. And we were just in the stands, like the 20-yard line. And, like, I know Bono was singing, but it could have been you. Like, I, you know, you couldn't really see. And that's not really as much fun. But, yeah, if they're in the round, then, yeah, a lot more people have at least some sense of, like, yeah, oh, we're a lot closer. I think that does make a huge difference. And, look, that's going to be one of the – that's obviously not going to be the primary factor, I wouldn't think, in terms of what they do with the stadium, but it's got to be one. It is that they do want to have.
I mean, look what just happened with Shakira. I mean, clearly these are issues that stadiums and stuff are having. You know, she was supposed to play in that stadium the other night, and they canceled it, and the mayor was like, you should come here anyway, blah, blah, blah. And it all had to do with something to do with her stage rig wasn't working in Fenway Park, which is where they were playing the other night, I guess. And they didn't have a time to, I guess, disassemble it and bring it down here in time or something like that, which, I mean, again, all that, there's people who are supposed to be in charge of those kind of logistics, but again, especially in baseball, every stadium is different. You know, there's different ways that it's going to work. So I'm actually really curious. I'd love to hear if at some point we'll find out from someone what actually happened with that. Like, what was the logistical issue that couldn't happen? Because right now we just know, like, something with her rig wouldn't work in time. You know?
So. Yeah, it's a tough break for Nat Park, right? The Shakira, and then Billy Joel's like my all-timer, and he was supposed to play there with Sting. Now, I haven't heard if they're going to still just have Sting, but Billy Joel is canceling all his appearances. Yeah.
Redo the whole, like, Billy Joel being out, they're not going to just have Sting do it. He's going to either have his own tour, like, rescheduled, or they'll have a new headliner come out and they'll reschedule everything that way. It's very unlikely they would keep him just by himself like that.
Right. So. I would agree. But that's, like, you know, from at least from a 2025 perspective, that's a tough revenue loss, I would think, for Nats Park, for the city, however that works out. I would have gone to see Billy Joel, but
that, and one of the other things I know also is you'll see a lot of these shows have been happening at the football stadium, or they've been moving to Baltimore at the arena up there, because the Capital One Arena is under construction from all that new funding that they got from the mayor after the whole almost moved to Alexandria, didn't move, now took the DC money, but all that, like. And I heard from the staff there, actually, like, they will have no events there during the off season because the whole thing's under construction, essentially. So you're seeing shows that would have normally been coming there this summer are going to other places as well.
Yeah. No, even just in terms of basketball, I mean, Caitlin Clark wouldn't have played anyway with her injury, but the two games against Indiana, including the one this past week, would have been in Baltimore for that exact reason. But look, Cap One needs the fixing. If this, you know, there's no real.
They need the money in there. It's got to happen at some point. Right. I get it, but
you obviously can't do it during NBA and NHL season. So the summer is the only time that you can do that type of deal. This time of year is also the time, of course, when the Commanders are doing the OTAs. And last week was round one of OTAs. They're going to have their next round this week. Media will be out there on Wednesday, like we were last week, and we'll talk a little bit more about that and what I'm looking forward to seeing. Look, obviously, the big question on some level is going to be who's there, the attendance. Specifically, is Terry McLaurin going to be there? Is Marshawn Lattimore, Laramie Tunsil? They were all three of those guys were out last week. And you know, look, these are voluntary practices. I really don't get on any of these vets in particular if they're missing these games. Now, in the case of McLaurin, we all understand there's the backdrop of a potential contract extension. He's got 1 year left on his deal. I imagine they get it done. I really don't sense any issues. And if he misses this week and next week, so be it. after that, and by the way, look, obviously you want your guys there, but he and Jaden Daniels, you know, I think they know each other. I think they've had some good chemistry already. I'm not too worried about that. He knows Cliff Kingsbury's offense, so there's that. But in terms of, you know, getting nervous about McLaurin, you know, get me past the mandatory minicamp. Should he skip that and we get closer to training camp? All right, then at that point, you know, maybe I start, you start panicking a little bit. But I'm not remotely close to that and not really worried about it. But we'll see if he's there this week. You know, he was at some of the earlier portions of this offseason program. Just general working out with the players. Seems nothing structured the way it was the other day and the way it will be this week. So I think that's the biggest thing.
Got married, if I recall, right? So
a little bit ago.
Yeah, like, so I was thinking, you know, he might just be taking a little bit of time off for that too. So
yeah, he could be. I mean, that, like, look, who am I to judge anybody what they do in life? Mine's a total mess at all times. But like, but like, you know, you should probably, like, they still have another big gap here in after mandatory minicamp between July and camp. So they have plenty of time to do what they need to do on their own. But yes, for sure. Again, it's voluntary. You look around the league, a lot of other teams have players that don't show up for these things. But, you know, what does it mean going forward? And again, the Lattimore one to me in particular is the one that I'm most interested in, because the last time we saw him, he was still dealing with these hamstring injuries that have affected him over the course of multiple seasons. Where is he at? Like, how does that look? And, you know, look, whether it was because of the injuries or because of the, you know, just adjusting to a new defense middle of the season, he was not at his best. He was not a Pro Bowl level player when he was here last year. Not that we'll see him if he's a Pro Bowler or not in OTAs, but get on the field. Let's see what he looks like, but we'll see if he's there or not. All right. So as I said, we're going to be here with you until 10 o'clock tonight at 7:30. Adam Kaplan, NFL insider, will join me. We'll talk about the NFC East, the gap between the Eagles and the Commanders. So Adam thinks it's the same, smaller, or gulp larger? We'll talk about that at 8:20. Chase Hughes from Monumental Sports will join to talk about the NBA Finals and the Wizards/NBA Draft. And then at 9 o'clock, my colleague at The Athletic, Derek Claussen, who is a quarterback kind of an analyst, he will join me to talk about Jaden Daniels' next steps and some other topics with regards to quarterbacks. Chris, I'm terrible on the time here. Should we take a quick break now, or you want me to run up till the top of the hour?
We can hang out for a little bit here, I think.
All right, let's do that. So let me talk a little bit more, we'll talk a little bit more about this. And I think, you know, as I said, at the top of the hour, I'll get into what I'm looking forward, what I'm going to be watching at OTAs for this coming week. What I'm excited about the most, to be honest, is that the weather is going to be good. I'm not afraid of rain. It's not about that. I'm not afraid of, being outside. But the team was indoors last week, and the bubble is just a much, much tighter situation. In general, I know Dan Quinn would say they can do all their stuff, but they're just limited space. But on top of that, because they're doing some construction in the players' locker room, they've been using the bubble as a way to, as a way to sort of get the players some space to, you know, without that locker room. So it just made it very tight, and we were stuck at like one end of the bubble. We were there. It was sort of the receivers were around there, and, you know, some different groups, but running backs, but like the offensive line was at the other end of the field for the most part. We couldn't really see them. At least now, if they're outside, we'll get to see kind of whatever we want. We can typically move around the practice fields and go look at any of the different groups. So I'm excited for that. This is not the time, of course, to really focus on the line play. No pads, no tackling, anything along those lines. But, you know, you can get a look at some of the, you know, some of the guys. How does Josh Connerly look? You know, is Brandon Coleman, does he appear to be getting some more reps inside than outside? You know, the run game, again, we're not going to see Brian Robinson, you know, running hard between the tackles, but, you know, we'll see we can get a better feel for what kind of, what kind of shape anybody's in. Anybody put on some muscle, drop some weight? How quick does Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt looked pretty damn quick in the rookie camp a few weeks back. And I think that running back room is going to be a really interesting one, to say the least. So, again, frankly, I'm just excited that they're going to be outside, more space and more opportunity. Because this past week, people have been asking me about things like Connerly and some of the defensive line. And I'm like, look, I'm just being straight up with you. I could make up stuff. I could give you a big song and dance about anything. But, like, we didn't see anything last week for the most part. So this week, we are going to get that opportunity. We're also going to get the opportunity, or at least I am, to watch a one specific position group that I am most interested in for this week. We're going to talk about that next and a lot more here on 106.7 The Fan.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. Ben Standig here. I'm with you until 10 o'clock. We'll talk about the Commanders OTA preview, that coming up on Wednesday here in just a second. It was just officially announced, though, that the Eagles traded defensive end Bryce Huff to the 49ers for a 2026 mid-round pick. We knew that this was coming from the other day. I guess they had to sort through the contract details. I think the Eagles are going to eat some of that money. That was that's one of the things that was so remarkable about Philadelphia's run last year. They have all this depth on the defensive line, and the guy that was their big free agent acquisition last season was a complete flop. He didn't even Bryce Huff did not even play for them in the playoffs. I think he was out or inactive for every game. And, it goes to show how well that team has drafted over time, that they had so many other options that somebody with that kind of a contract just didn't work on any level. The 49ers will try to revive his career. He played with the Jets at a time when Robert Saleh was the coach there. Saleh is now, of course, the defensive coordinator with the 49ers, so maybe that reunion will get Huff going. At 7:30, we're going to talk with NFL insider Adam Kaplan, who is based up around the Philadelphia, Jersey area, and I know he pays a close attention to the Eagles, so we'll talk to him about what happened with Huff, but also the gap between the Commanders and the Eagles. Where does he see it now after we saw these teams go head-to-head three times last season? All right, Commanders OTA this week. They'll be back out there. The media will be back out there on Wednesday. This is week two. We were out there last week, as I mentioned, and they will be outside. I mean, based on the weather forecast, which is great for all of us. We'll have a chance to see more. We won't be penned into a corner like we were in the bubble last week. Now, there are certain groups that, you know, you certainly take a look at whatever's in front of you. Without the pads, without tackling, you know, this is really not the time to focus too much on the line play or the run game, because, you know, it's just more like a fancy walkthrough on some levels. But I think there are some positions, though, where you can get a feel for what's going on out there. And the one group I really am going to focus on this week is the wide receivers. Now, and that's with Terry McLaurin being there or not. We'll find out this week if he is out there. Look, part of the reason is, like, you know, it's just to see. It's a way to look at Jaden Daniels, of course, without just saying I'm going to focus on Jaden Daniels, because it's, like, super obvious. And the other quarterbacks as well. They have some drills where all four quarterbacks throw simultaneously, as receivers have different routes, a go pattern, some underneath stuff, over the middle, what have you, and each rep the quarterback knows that they're assigned to throw to a different target. But it's also when they get to 7-on-7s to see the spacing out on the field. Do the receivers look like they are running the appropriate routes? Obviously, you know, are they catching the ball? Are they creating separation? And so on. And, you know, look, Deebo Samuel is one guy to watch. Of course, one of the Washington's big moves this offseason. 2021 Pro Bowler. He's had some monster seasons in the NFL with the 49ers, but he's also been inconsistent at times. And last year, statistically for sure, was his worst season really in the league in years in which he's played at least, like, say, 13 games. There has been questions about his, is he in shape, just for lack of a better term. He wasn't asked that directly last week. We did have a chance to talk to Deebo Samuel, but he, when asked sort of about what did he focus on in the offseason, he mentioned specifically, you know, making sure he's in shape. This is a contract year for him. I wouldn't say that, like, Washington is going out on a limb to bring him in. It cost them a fifth round pick. He's gonna, you know, he's got this salary. It's, you know, good money, but it's nothing crazy for a 1 year deal. He'd like another deal, whether that's with Washington or somebody else. And the way he's going to get a good deal is have a season that we know he can produce with his ability, especially yards after the catch. It should be a really fun dynamic to see how Cliff Kingsbury involves him. Some quick hits, finding ways to get him the ball, could be out of the backfield as well, and get bigger plays out of this offense. As great as this team was last year in terms of scoring, you know, fifth in the league, in terms of Jaden Daniels being fantastic, Terry McLaurin getting 13 touchdowns, you know, this was not a big chunk offense type team. They had a lot of longer drives. They were great at, you know, chewing up the clock at stretches. Obviously, we know they were just great at moving the ball. Multiple games with Tress Way just sitting there and watching and not having to punt in any way, shape, or form. And that's all fine and dandy, but it doesn't hurt to have the ability to take one 50 yards to the house and get just these bigger chunk plays to set you up a little bit quicker in the other team's territory. And that's what Deebo Samuel is here for. Same with their fourth round pick, Jalen Lane out of Virginia Tech. He of the 4.34 40 speed. Punt returning is probably where he's going to make his biggest mark as a rookie. But he was out there last week with the punt returners. He was like the first one in line. It doesn't mean anything per se, but it kind of does. I mean, they didn't put him last. You know, it's a sign of something. You want to get this guy as many reps as possible. They drafted him in large part because of his punt returning ability. But like to that end, we know that Terry McLaurin will play, or you know whatever his contract situation is, he'll be out there. Deebo Samuel will be probably the primary slot receiver. You've got Noah Brown as the other outside receiver opposite Terry McLaurin. But there are times, of course, where you go four receiver sets. There are times where you want a different type of look out there. Maybe you don't need the bigger Noah Brown. You want somebody a little bit quicker or whatever it might be. And that's where the question is, who's going to be the fourth receiver? Jalen Lane is definitely a possibility. I think Luke McCaffrey is definitely a possibility. I know people have been frustrated that last year the third round pick just didn't really quite get going. It felt like they were early in the season. He was on the verge of some good moments. He had a catch late in that Bengals Monday night win, but by and large, he wasn't a huge factor. You know, De'Ami Brown had a surprising season. Alamide Zaccheaus performed. And Noah Brown, you know, until the injury was really, having a really quality season for sure. And then, so we'll see where Luke McCaffrey's at. Okay. I mean, it was only his third year playing the receiver position, having been a quarterback early in his college career. So we'll see where he's at now with that transition. We know he's got the athletic gifts. His dad was a longtime NFL receiver. His brother, you might've heard of, Christian McCaffrey. So we know he's got the bloodlines for it. And I'm not worrying about, you know, him showing it athletically. It's just a matter of being refined enough that they feel comfortable using him. And then there's Michael Gallup, free agent receiver, ex-Cowboy, didn't play last year. Injuries have really kind of hampered his career at times, but he is now back. He was with Dan Quinn down in Dallas for a few years. And Gallup is a really interesting one to me because he's got some good size. He's been a playmaker at points in his career, and he's a veteran presence. If they're ultimately looking to give Jaden Daniels guys who've been there, done that, he would be the logical option to be that fourth receiver. But he's going to have to obviously show that he is ready to go, that athletically, that physically, he is capable of taking on a decent workload, that he can make plays for this group. We'll find out more about that as we get into training camp and we get into the preseason. But looking at him, you know, how does he look just out there right now? Now, I got a chance to look at him a little bit last week, and everybody saw, unfortunately, on consecutive plays, Jaden Daniels threw interceptions that neither one was on the quarterback. One was definitely on Gallup. There was a ball that went right through his hands into the hands of a defensive back. And then there was another one where Trey Amos, Washington's second-round cornerback, was defending Gallup right there with him. But the pass was on target, except that when the pass arrived, Gallup was on the ground. The two bumped, Gallup hit the deck, and Amos made the interception. What stands out to me about the Gallup situation is oftentimes we know that the final roster spots, special teams is a tiebreaker. If they're going to keep four tight ends and Colson Yankoff is that fourth guy, it's going to be because he's a real impact for them on special teams. If Kayvon Seymour is the sixth cornerback, it's going to be because he is key on special teams. If Jeremy McNichols, you know, sticks around, the fact that he can help on special teams will be a contributing factor and so on. Gallup does not play special teams. That's not been for him in his career. Typically, it's not the same. Neither has Noah Brown. Terry McLaurin, nope. Now, Deebo Samuel did play a bit at times last year for the Niners, but I can't imagine that's a real plan for him and the Commanders. You know, maybe it's another way to get him the ball, but like he's not a special teams guy in the classic sense of like running down and chasing, after returners or blocking or any of that stuff. So the question is, does Gallup, to me, does he establish himself as the fourth receiver? If so, then the special teams component does not matter, and McCaffrey and Lane will be guys that can help on special teams. But if Gallup isn't the fourth receiver, then I don't know that you're keeping him as the sixth because, again, he's not playing on special teams. If they think that they'd rather use Lane and McCaffrey in receiver sets, then that could change things for Gallup. So these early practices, to me, or at least get us a closer look at where he is at physically. Again, he's missed a bunch of time in his career, started off with a lot of promise in Dallas, but then has missed time due to injury. So I think this is to me like what OTAs really can tell us something is like, again, what type of shape are some of these guys in? Gallup would be one. I'm certainly going to look out in the receiver room. To that end, another receiver I'm intrigued by is Ja'Cory Brooks, one of their undrafted free agents, big-time recruit to Alabama. He ends up transferring to Louisville, where last year he hooked up with Tyler Shook, who may be the Saints starting quarterback this year, had a 1,000-yard season, 6'3", excellent speed, can return punts. I don't want to go crazy. I'm not saying he's going to be Randy Moss. We're not saying he's going to start. But as a project, there's a lot there. It's interesting. 6'3", his size really stood out. He can help, again, in the return game. And if you're talking about, you know, a six receiver, and again, if Gallup is not ready to be essentially the fourth guy, it could make some sense to take a flyer on a guy like Brooks. Now, of course, last year they had some flyers. Bryson Tremaine was one of those guys. He made it off the practice squad when there were some injuries, but by and large, it never quite worked out, and he moved on this offseason. So the projects typically land on the practice squad. Can't imagine that Brooks wouldn't make it to the practice squad. But we have seen UDFAs, you know, stand out. Colson Yankoff, Tyler Owens last year, nobody was projecting them to make the 53 at this time last year. They did. So, it's conceivable. Now, it's a position, like I said, for me, that I think could make some sense as to where a player could sneak on to this roster. So that's something I'll be watching for sure, the wide receivers. And by the way, they'll obviously going up against the cornerbacks, which means, you know, you get to watch them go up against Mikey Sanders, still against Jonathan Jones, Trey Amos, and so on. So we get to also see that group in action as well. All right, I got some other thoughts here about OTAs, if you want to call in, you want to ask some questions about what you want to see out there, what you're interested in, you can call 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Ben Standing with you until 10 o'clock here on 106.7 The Fan.
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
Metal Chris is bringing out all the hits. Motley Crue right there, leading us into this next segment. We're going to talk with Adam Kaplan, NFL insider, at 7, a little after 7:30. We're taking your calls, though, 800-636-1067. I was talking about Commanders OTA. Next one is here on Wednesday, and Eli in D.C. is calling in to talk about Commanders as well. Eli, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind about the Commanders?
What's going on, man? Love your work. Interesting. It's like I have lots of questions just because you're able to see what's going on, man. I'm curious about Jordan McGee and some of the other guys from just some of the holdovers from last year, just kind of like where they fit into the grand scheme of things. Kind of also curious about my man Noah Brown, just what he was able to do. I know he was hurt, so he's not getting a bunch of buzz. So I'm just kind of curious about how do you think about just like the mixed bag of just the different cats that we have, the different personnel and the body types on offense and defense that could be advantageous for the team. Just like what we looking like, it seems like it's a lot. Almost like last year when Adam Peters, it's almost like he got a lot of guys just on board just to kind of get a really good look to see what guys do really well. And it feels like that's happening again. So I'm just kind of, who you're excited about, or what are those guys, the holdovers, looking like as well?
Yeah, no, for sure. Look, it's funny. You mentioned Jordan McGee. There are 5 draft picks in the 2025 draft. There's like about as many guys from the 2024 draft, where they had 9 picks. There's about 5 guys that, like, there's a lot of questions going into this year as well. That get in both. We always get the new guys. How do they look? I think we have a lot of those questions that with the group from last year. You mentioned Jordan McGee. So much hope for him. There was a lot. He was one of those like organizational picks where like they took a vote amongst like all their scouts like in the 5th round, and McGee was the guy that they settled on. A really athletic linebacker. He was the player beyond Jaden Daniels last year when I was, covering the draft, that people from other teams were texting me, Jordan McGee, that guy, that was a great pick. I got more about him than anybody else not named Jaden Daniels. Unfortunately, he got hurt and basically was, missed training camp for the most part. The season was kind of a wash. Just didn't play. Right. It was involved for 8 games, but really just not a factor in terms of the defense. I think he could be a very interesting weapon for them because, look, you've got Bobby Wagner playing inside, and Bobby Wagner is a hell of a player, going to the Hall of Fame. He's got unbelievable instincts, but, is the speed down a bit? Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And, McGee could be the third linebacker. I don't think there's any question about it, but what does that look like, and does he show enough for them to say, hey, let's take Wagner off the field at times, or maybe we can use Luvu as an actual edge and then slide McGee into that other spot? I do think that's something to consider. Staying with that class on the offensive side, I don't know if you said mentioned, but Ben Sinnott, I think, is the other guy from this draft class in particular that stands out. I'm not gonna lie, I still don't quite know what Ben Sinnott is. They drafted him essentially as an H-back type guy, and that's all cool, but like, I don't see him as a direct replacement should Zach Ertz go out. He's not the blocker that John Bates is, but there's a lot of reason that they liked him. He caught that pass from Tressway in the playoffs, so I think you know, I think athletically there is something there for sure. No doubt about it. Not writing him off by any stretch. But what is he? Do we get a better feel for that? I kind of wonder if the team gets a better feel for that. So I think that is exactly why you have these OTA periods for the team to have these guys get out there, get involved in the offense and kind of, you know, get a feel. Okay, it's year two. Cool. Now where are you at? And I think for those two guys in particular, I think that can make a lot of sense. Anybody else? You mentioned a couple of names. Any other buddy from that draft class last year or one of the rookies this year that you're curious about?
Main man Jalen Lane, obviously, I think he's getting some buzz. I'm curious to see rotation-wise, because I think some of their draft capital, even putting into him, I think we can kind of see how much more we may get from Terry McLaurin. Because I was curious, like, are we saying at this point, if Terry McLaurin gives us what he gave us last year, let's say he does that again, that's all we need from him moving forward. Cool. I'm just curious, is he going to give us more physically? That's going to say the next gear, or we're looking back and say, you know what, we're going to draft other guys to potentially make Terry McLaurin better at this point. And I feel, and that's when I'm looking at some of these decisions, it feels like to me, like the Jalen Lane pick and certain picks may be able to free up guys. Maybe he doesn't give us more physically, but maybe just having other guys on the team, he may get freed up in ways. You have a 4-3 guy. There's so much nuance and so much route running that happens along with that. I don't want to put so much on a kid. He's a rookie. You know, it's a lot that goes into this game. But I'm really curious to see how these rotations actually look offensively when you start to give Jaden Daniels some of these things. Because I think some of his swag also comes with the foot speed of his receivers. I've been looking at the LSU tape. And I'm like, man, when I look at the receivers and the immediate foot speed that they're able to get, I'm talking about Neighbors and Lacey, you know, when he was able to do his thing, RIP. But I'm noticing they have that understanding, and to see them make that decision to get him, I think he's going to be getting a lot of quick foot speed early, getting open things that'll be very good for Jaden. So but I'm excited. This is going to be really fun. I think we have an interesting mix of guys to help Jaden with that underneath game a little bit more to just get that ball out of his hands fast. And I think we might be okay, man, because if you have to make certain decisions, you got Debo. It's like I know, you know, we got the right guys in place. I love what they may be able to do with a guy like him and Jalen Lane. A guy like Bill coming out the backfield as well.
Hey, Eli, I really appreciate appreciate the call. I have to cut you off. Sorry about that. We have to go to a break in a minute. But, no, look, I think you're totally right. Because, like, look, last year, De'Ami Brown was making a surprisingly decent amount of plays down the field, and we saw how he kind of blew up in the playoffs, and then he goes out and gets a pretty good contract on a one-year deal from Jacksonville. His speed was a big weapon. But look, De'Ami Brown, obviously over the course of his 4 years, was an inconsistent player. Jalen Lane has got that kind of speed, maybe even a little bit better speed, frankly. If he's going to be a guy that you can get in one-on-one situations the way they did with De'Ami last year, and Jaden Daniels is making those pinpoint throws, good luck covering him one-on-one. And that is going to be fascinating, because if Terry McLaurin's going to get attention, and you know you have to pay attention to Debo Samuel, Jalen Lane should be the guy who's like got clean looks all over the place. And that is why you have a guy with that kind of speed to give you that big playability to take advantage of the defenses focusing on your other guys. So yeah, I think that could be a huge weapon. But again, we have to see where he is at. It's not like, can't always assume that a receiver comes in and is just simply able to go right off the bat. But we'll see about that. We'll talk more about the Commanders OTA probably later in the show. But up next, NFL insider Adam Kaplan is going to talk to us, and we're going to discuss what's the gap right now between the Eagles and the Commanders. Ben standing with you till 10 o'clock on 106.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. Ben standing with you until 10 o'clock. Obviously, if I'm here, we're going to talk a lot about the Commanders, and if my next guest is joining me, we're going to talk about the NFL. Adam Kaplan, NFL insider, does a lot of work for Sirius XM, Sports Radio 810. He's all over the Eagles. situation 24/7, and he's at Kaplan NFL, Kaplan with a C, on X Twitter. Adam, thanks for doing this. Haven't talked to you for a minute. How is your off season going?
Ben, good to talk to you as always. Yeah, it's been pretty good. You know, I was able to get a little downtime after the draft. Do a little Outer Banks, as my wife and I do every year. Lots of tennis for me, so I play a lot of tennis during the week. But it's football, obviously. Ben, this is my 27th year covering the National Football League. And you know, it's a really cool thing. Not that I'm cheering for the Commanders, but it's so good that we don't have to talk about Daniel Snyder and the negativity. I think it's a great thing. And by the way, congrats to the Commanders PR department. They actually won an award. I think it's super cool. And you love it. It's all under Josh Harris's leadership. So it's a good thing, man. Enough of the negativity. Every time I do radio or television when it comes to the Commanders, previously before Josh Harris came in, it was always negative. Not anymore. It's good we could put that behind us.
It's still remarkable. It's still hard. Like, you know, after all these years,
I know.
It is hard to be like, wait, it's positive. We don't have to go negative here. We can just focus on good stuff. It is still bizarrely bizarre like that.
Weird.
And of course, like, you know, they made it all the way to the NFC Championship game last
Crazy.
Year where they faced off the Eagles. Philadelphia, of course, got the better of them, and the final score was, you know, suggested the game was not that close. Although I think it was, if they don't turn the ball over, have a couple mistakes, you know, who knows, meaning Washington. But I that is actually kind of what I wanted to ask you about is, you know, we're all here kind of wondering, okay, well, look, they came on as a surprise last year. They're not going to sneak up anybody this time. The schedule for the whole division is going to be a lot harder. From your sense up there, do you think that the gap between these two teams has shrunk? Is it about the same, or is it possible it's gotten even larger from, you know, based on whatever Philly's done?
Well, it's tighter. First of all, the Eagles are going to have five new defensive starters, so I think you got to start there. And that's a concern. And now the cool thing, if you're Eagles coaches or front office, you love that they're going to have the youngest defense of the National Football League. They usually would have, with Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Darius Slay, Ronald Darby just retired, by the way, today. They had one of the oldest defenses. Now they have the youngest. That's a good thing. And you're going to take your lumps. The Eagles had some pretty interesting stat I uncovered last year. They were the only NFL team to have no vested veterans at defensive tackle. That's rare. And they're also very young again at D-tackle. So they're going to be young. But the cool thing, when you look at Washington's rapid development, which, trust me, I don't know if you're on the national media call with Mike North and Schedule Makers a couple of weeks ago. I mean, Mike talked about this. He goes, this is what we love about flex scheduling. Because when a team comes out of nowhere and shocks everybody, the Commanders are going to get on national TV, and like the Jets are not. You saw what happened last year. The Jets were flexed out and Washington was flexed in. So they're a great story. You're growing up in the Philadelphia area. One of the Eagles, obviously their big rivalries was against Washington, Joe Gibbs, and not so much after that, obviously because of the problems with under Snyder's leadership, but the gap is closer because of the quarterback, Daniels, which obviously we could talk about, and his remarkable story. They're really good coaches. Dan Quinn's put together a really good coaching staff. Now, I do think they overachieved a little bit, particularly with their offensive line, hence the trade for Laramie Tunsil, though I am told they also looked at other left tackles, but that's the guy they settled on. It's a pretty good player, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at they're going to reshape their offensive line a little bit, which they needed to do. I don't know how they got away with what they got away with last year. Give Bobby Johnson, their offensive line coach, credit. But, man, they addressed it. Josh Connerly. We mentioned the Tunsil trade. Nate Herbig, by the way, guy's been around a long time. His brother was with Pittsburgh, as Nate was. He could back up guard or center. You know, Cosby, unfortunately, coming back from the ACL injury, so you don't quite know when he's going to be ready. But they've done a good job. I give Adam Peters credit. Of addressing the offensive line, and they didn't hide from it. They knew Brandon Coleman was not going to be the left tackle, and they addressed it.
They did. They did, absolutely. We're talking with NFL insider Adam Kaplan about the Commanders and the Eagles. You know, look, I think you're right. They definitely overachieved a bit last year. I mean, you know, the Hail Mary game may have been the most obvious, like, you know, fortunate situation, but they won like five in a row at the end of the year on the literal like last play from scrimmage. That's not going to typically happen as well. But, you know, you mentioned the upgrades on the offensive line. Jaden Daniels gets another year in the league. Philadelphia, like, look, Jaden had some really good moments against the Eagles, particularly in that second game down here where Washington had a comeback win. What was your sense of how Vic Fangio dealt with Jaden Daniels, and what's like the adjustment as you've seen over the years when these defensive coordinators go up against the quarterback going into his second year? How does that cat and mouse game kind of work?
So Fangio, a friend of mine used to coach with him in Denver. Vic has had a really good career against rookie quarterbacks. Now, the game in Washington, which the Eagles blew the lead, remember C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Eagles safety, who's their big playmaker, got thrown out of the game.
Yep.
But, look, it's not like they played good defense that game. I mean, they could not get to Daniels. Daniels was incredible in that game. I mean, Ben, in all your years of covering the NFL, have you seen a cooler customer quarterback as a rookie? He is so calm under pressure. The kid is special. I mean, he really is. I know talking to the Commanders, they knew early on there was something different and unusual about him. And, look, do we think he'd be this good as a rookie? I don't think anyone could have imagined. So it's a great story, a development. Now, Vic Fangio, look, you could talk about the championship game. They got boat raced, Washington, no doubt about it. It got ugly. Now, the first half was like, the second half was just ridiculous. But the first half, they had their opportunities to keep the game close, and then the second half got away from them. The Eagles aren't that much better than them. No, it's to go back to your opener here, it's closer than you think. Yes, the Eagles have the best offensive line in football, maybe one of the best in NFL history, maybe the best O-line coach in the National Football League, and Jeff Stoutland. Fangio's, he could be a Hall of Fame coach, no doubt. And Nick Sirianni, the Eagles head coach, has now gotten to two Super Bowls, won one in the last 3 years. It's pretty incredible. Harry Roseman is widely recognized as the best GM in the National Football League. Wasn't always like that. Eagle fans wanted him fired 5 years ago. So things have changed here. So, getting back to the Commanders, Ben, because the roster, because Adam Peters and Lance Newmark, his right-hand man, they've done such a good job of reshaping this roster. They're not done, but they, with Lattimore now in a full offseason, hopefully he'll stay healthy for a change. Sandra Stroll's a stud. There's no question about that. I know they didn't draft Quan Martin. I know they do like him. Kinlaw comes out of his best year as a professional. Wise is a very underrated pass rusher come over from New England. Luba is one of my favorite NFL players. I mean, this is a team that's been built very quickly, okay? Very quickly and very well by Adam Peters.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, just before the show, I started the show, it was announced officially that the Eagles have traded defensive end Bryce Huff to the 49ers. The rare misfire last year for Howie Roseman, a big free agent signing, and he just didn't work out at all. Didn't even play in the postseason. So moving on from him, I guess, is not ultimately a big deal in the sense of that they, you know, weren't, he wasn't a big factor last year. But Josh Sweat is gone. He left in free agency. Milton Williams as well. So that's three guys who, at least for the regular season, were in the rotation. I know they added some different pieces, but what kind of a loss is that? Because the defensive end depth was such a big talking point and a reality as to why the Eagles were good. What's it like now having moving on from three guys and then, you know, what else they have that they brought in to replace them?
Yeah, so a couple things here. So let's talk about Huff quickly. So what happened is they signed to a three-year, $51.5 million deal. He played with that wide nine front, which is where the edge rushers are outside the tackles. And all they do is they go up and get the quarterback. Jim Schwartz has run it for his entire career. I learned it from Jim Washburn, who, by the way, Washburn brought it in as a front to stop the Rams in the Super Bowl. And that was part of, that was a big reason why I did that in 99 for people really follow the NFL. But a lot of teams use it, but the Jets used it with Bryce Huff and Robert Saleh. The two are now reunited with the Niners. Chris Kucerik, their D-line coach, learned the wide nine front from Jim Schwartz. So it all works out. Huff didn't work out here in Philly because Eagles don't really run that front. They're a 3-4 defense. They run very little wide nine. Vic Fangio benched him. Huff never really got the scheme. Then he had a wrist injury, then had surgery, came back, got benched. Jalik Sunt, this kid who played safety at Cornell, go to the school Houston Christian, and he wasn't supposed to play last year, but because of Brandon Graham's injury, and then Huff's injury, and then he got benched. They threw this kid in there, a third-round pick. He wound up playing very well. He's probably going to start. Pretty cool story. One of the reasons why, Ben, before we kind of put a bow in the Eagles roster, one of the reasons why the Eagles won the Super Bowl is so many guys played way better than they thought they could. Zach Bond, right? Zach Bond.
Absolutely.
Was signed to be a backup edge rusher and special teamer. Fangio saw something when he played a little strong side linebacker for New Orleans. Moving to inside backer, he was arguably better than Fred Warner last season. Don't ask me how this happens. I mean, sometimes you got to get lucky.
Sure.
Yeah, just the things you can't predict. And that was the story of that football team. Cooper DeJean, right? The guy misses the first 4 weeks of the season and winds up being the NFL's best nickel defender. You can't make this stuff up. Some of it's luck, some of it's great coaching, some of it's great personnel evaluation. So, yeah, now, to move this along here, you mentioned the guys are gone. The Eagles tried to re-sign Milton Williams several times in the regular season. He declined to do it. They were not going to pay him what New England paid him. They weren't going to come close to that, so he walked. You mentioned Josh Sweat. Reunited with Jonathan Gannon, who was his defensive coordinator for 2 years in Philly. They lost some other players. Now, N'Kobe Dean is one of their starting inside backers. Suffered a terrible injury, torn patella tendon. He won't be back probably till midseason. So they've got some problems. They're kind of weak at corner opposite Quinyon Mitchell. So this is why I think it's tighter, Ben. They got a lot of changes.
Yeah, I mean, look, attrition is part of the NFL without question. We're talking with Adam Kaplan. NFL Insider does plenty of great work for SiriusXM. Actually, I thought of just one other question before we move off of these two teams. Jahan Dotson, I guess you could call that one of the other maybe few missteps that Howie Roseman had. We'll see where he goes this year. What, you know, we saw him here. I kind of understand why Washington moved on and they didn't miss him, really. He was not much of a factor at all for the Eagles. What's the expectations this year, which is going to be, I assume they did not pick up his fifth-year option, so this will be...
No, they did. Here's what happened with Washington. So, was told by two people. Didn't like love his body language. They thought he's too finesse. Didn't go after the football. Very talented receiver. They were done with him. The new front office and coach staff, they didn't want him. I don't know how... I'll say this about Dotson. He actually did very well. He actually had a good Super Bowl. Did well very late in the regular season and playoffs, but... Couple things in his defense. The Eagles are a heavy 12 personnel team. They don't run a lot of 11. They used to run a lot of 11 before they got Saquon Barkley, but they needed a good backup. He did a good job, but man, what they gave up to get him, he just didn't match the production, which is really your point. So, yeah, look, he's on the final year of his rookie deal. He'll be the first guy in off the bench. Clearly, also, if someone gets hurt or they play 11 personnel, but, yeah, it just... They haven't got enough production for him, but again, the passing game goes through A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert, who almost got traded, by the way. It's kind of an interesting offseason for him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, let me ask you this. This is tangentially with Washington. Obviously, Jaden Daniels goes number two, and everybody here beyond thrilled that that's the way the world worked out. Now, it may work out long-term that Caleb Williams is still ultimately has the better career or that they're just rivals down all the way throughout their careers. We'll see. The Bears certainly did a lot to help Caleb Williams this year. But one thing looking back on it, I think was like fascinating seeing how good Jaden Daniels was that the Bears seemingly made the decision on Caleb Williams weeks before the draft. Typically, like, teams are going to play this out, bring in guys, you know, do the homework on all the options, but they were just locked in on Caleb Williams and you know, they had to make sure he was going to be in the draft and weren't going to be any headaches and about him signing, things like that. Are you surprised that ultimately the Bears maybe didn't take a longer look at Jaden Daniels? It's easy to say that Monday morning quarterbacking, but it's not like he was a Heisman winner, mostly the consensus number two pick. Are you surprised that the Bears really didn't play that out, and really take a look at both of them?
No, because actually my first mock draft, which I did not this January, but the January before, I put Caleb Williams in there. I was working for Pro Football Network at the time, and I never moved him. I must have done 8 mock drafts for PFN that year, 2 years ago. I never moved him out of number one. Everything I found out was that they loved Williams in the beginning. Now, you put him together with Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson, their head coach, will call the plays. He coaches hard. I mean, he will instill discipline in Caleb Williams, who needs it. I'll say this about Caleb Williams. I know the overall numbers weren't great. Tape wasn't great overall. There were three or four games where you go, wow, where you saw some stuff that was really intriguing. Now you put him with Johnson, a top three play caller. Everybody could have their favorite play caller. Ben Johnson's terrific as a play caller. You saw what he did for Jared Goff. So I'm intrigued with this thing, but he doesn't have Jaden Daniels' discipline, and that's the big thing. And we're going to see. We're going to see how committed he is to being great. And we're going to know early on because Ben Johnson will not put up with it if you don't do things the right way. I'm really interested to see how this works out between the two of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, for sure. I am a skeptic by nature. I need to see more. I don't typically go off. Yeah. Just because somebody had a good rookie year, I'm not putting them in Canton. But I would be stunned if Jaden Daniels takes steps backwards. You know, maybe he doesn't progress in like a massive way, but I'd be stunned if he goes back. So for you, what's been the sense when you're talking to people around the league in terms of going forward? Would Caleb Williams still be the number one pick, or do people think, okay, now hold on here, Jaden Daniels, if we had to do this all over again, no doubt Jaden Daniels would be the number one guy.
Daniels would be number one, yeah. If you're sort of redrafting, yes. Because the statement I got for last year's draft was that, okay, Daniels is definitely going to be Washington's quarterback. It's not just because they like him. It's because of the way the league sees it. When I was polling various personnel people from around the league, if you just look at the guy who was probably the safest of the two was Daniels. Now, you're worried about, we didn't mention this, the body type, a little bit thinner frame. He didn't quite have Caleb Williams' arm strength. Daniels, better athlete. Daniels, way better processor. Coming in, that was the word that I got. And, boy, that really showed. And I remember being at training camp with Washington last summer. And, Ben, when you talk to personnel people, they can't help but say, I think we've got one here. I mean, you could just tell the way they were speaking about him and their coaching staff as well, that they knew very early on that there was something really special about him. But that's great, but you don't know until he actually plays in a game. And look, in the Philly game, which was, I think, a Monday night game, that was when he had the rib injury. He didn't play well. If you look at his body of work, did he not play like a five-year veteran? I mean, let's call it like it is. The kid, it wasn't just that he was a rookie. He played like a guy who'd been in the league a long time.
No, it was remarkable to be around him every week. It was almost, frankly, annoying that a 25-year-old, 24-year-old was that poised. He's younger. Yeah, I mean, I can't get my stuff together, and he had his act together in spades. Adam, I really appreciate the time. Kaplan, great job as an NFL insider for all kinds of outlets, SiriusXM, and he does a lot of work in the Philadelphia Eagles land. Adam, thanks so much. I look forward to talking down the line.
Anytime, man. Thanks.
Appreciate it. All right, so you can find him on Twitter at Kaplan, NFL Kaplan with a C. All right, we've got plenty more to go here. Ben standing with you until 10. We got to start talking about the NBA Finals. We'll do that next segment here on 106.7 The Fan. All right, we'll talk to Chase Hughes from Monumental Sports at about 8:15, 8:20. We'll talk about the NBA Finals. Interesting matchup between the Thunder and the Pacers. Metal Chris and I were just discussing, it's not going to be a ratings bonanza. We know that. Neither market is particularly, one with big Nielsen ratings. There's not a lot of folks down in Oklahoma City relative to, say, New York or Los Angeles. Now, none of that matters if you're actually watching the basketball. I think this is a pretty compelling matchup. Both of these teams, Oklahoma City is going to be is considered the favorite. I totally get it, and it's reasonable to think that. They've got a ton of depth. They've got the current MVP and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You know, they've got a young team. They play incredible defense. They run up tempo. There's a lot to like. They also don't have a ton of experience. Indiana has more. Indiana has more depth than a lot of teams in this league. Maybe not as much as Oklahoma City, but they're not going to be lacking depth in this matchup. And they want to run and run and run. They look to me like a dominant college basketball team against like a really low D1 school in the last game against the Knicks, the way they were able to get fast break points after made baskets. So I think this should be really a compelling series, but certainly all we're going to hear about is who's watching. There's no headliners. This really does feel like the transitional postseason away from LeBron and away from Steph and away from Durant.
I think it's away from the super team because we're used to seeing these duos and trios kind of dominate, you know, who goes to the finals every year. You're like, oh, LeBron taking his talents to Miami and, you know, they're in the finals 4 years or whatever these super teams, the Warriors and stuff. And now it's kind of like these guys aren't really super teams. These are well-developed teams with lots of depth. And not just two or three stars that are hitting max salary.
Right. I mean, me personally, I don't like parity. I prefer to have big targets. I'm not saying I need to have the same two teams every year in the finals, but I do think in all sports, I prefer to be there. The teams you have to aim at. And right now the NBA is having this weird lull after years and years and years of that, you know, the super teams, you know, Lakers, Celtics, Warriors, like we, you know, whatever team LeBron was on. We kind of knew who was in there. And now, you know, for the 7 years in a row, there'll be a new champion. And these two teams are way off the radar in terms of NBA history. And they don't have guys who are, like, even though SGA is an MVP, he's not a household name, you know, and all that. So this is a bit of a transition for the league. I think it should be a really fun series, but that's not the same as saying it's, you know, all we're going to hear about is terrible ratings, most likely, which is, you know, annoying, but it's going to be the reality of the situation. There's no way to get around that.
I think there's a lot of potential here, though. If there are some really close games, it goes to seven. There's a lot of buzzer beater kind of, you know, that gets everyone talking. Hey, did you see game three? You got to see these games, you know? Well, that's the kind of thing that can bring this hype to this series that maybe people aren't expecting because we don't have the Knicks or the Lakers or the Celtics in it, you know?
And I think the style of play is a big deal. If these were two half-court teams and we had the same small market situation, that would be an absolute killer. The fact that these teams want to run and run and run some more, they've got shooters. Both teams have a lot of guys that can make plays. That's why it should be exciting. Hopefully that can be the focus. We'll see about that. I don't know. We'll see if that's the way it works out. We'll talk more, as I said, about this, about the NBA Finals, the NBA Draft with Chase Hughes from Monumental Sports in a few minutes. Coming up next, I want to actually talk about the number one topic, I think, this offseason right now, and that is, what is the future of inside the NBA? I've got some thoughts on that. We'll get to that next here on 106.7 The Fan.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all.
All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.